Today we're going to conclude our series on You're Too Old for That. Now we're not talking about a mindset, because in our mind, how many know we never get old, right? Anybody here want to join me in that? Okay, I think that, you know, I always want to stay young in my mind when it comes to thinking and innovation and challenging myself. That's not what I'm talking about. What we're talking about is a maturity level as a Christian that we're called to. Now, we know if our kids did not grow, if they get out of diapers and they never grow physically, something's wrong, right? We take them to the doctor. What's wrong? My child's not gaining weight. My child is not growing. And we try to figure out what's wrong with them. There's something wrong with them. The same thing should happen in our life spiritually, that we realize when we're stuck at the same place for a long, long time and there's no spiritual growth in our life, no spiritual maturity happening, that there should be something wrong. We said, ding, 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 there should be something wrong. I need to look into myself in the mirror, look into my heart and say, why am I still at the same place I've been at for several years? There needs to be a season in my life when God elevates me through the Spirit to a different level, that I am growing and I'm maturing in the Lord. God expects us to grow. Let's go ahead and get right into our text today. We started it last week. Let's pick it back up again this week in Jeremiah 18. When Jeremiah commanded the Lord, he says, go down to the potter's house, and there I will give you my message. So Jeremiah went down to the potter's house, and I saw him working at the wheel. We all see the picture here, the potter creating the vessel at the wheel with the clay. He said, I saw him working at the wheel, but the pot he was shaping from the wheel, from the clay, was what? It was marred. It was imperfect. It was impure in his hands. So the potter formed it into another pot, shaping as it seemed best to him. Then the word of the Lord came to me, and he said, can I do this with you, Israel? Now we know here the word Israel, we can see this as the Old Testament foreshadowing of the New Testament church. And so we can insert our name today. He says, can I do this with you, Destiny? Destiny Church, can I not do this with you? As the potter does, who is the Father, declares the Lord. Like clay in the hands of the potter, so are you in my hands, Destiny. We see here in the story where the potter is the Father, who is perfect, and we are the clay who is marred. And the story is that God is wanting to reshape us, remake us. See, God's focus is just not salvation for our lives. If it was only salvation, then he would take us to heaven as soon as we accepted Christ as our Savior. The focus here of knowing this, that our relationship with the Father through salvation, of believing in his Son, that he has come to transform our life. And the Father expects us to grow and to mature spiritually. Just as we expect our children to mature, he expects us to mature spiritually. We have addressed some common myths about what spiritual maturity may look like in the church today. Some of us think that spiritual maturity looks like different things. We've kind of addressed them. Let's kind of talk about it again. Some of us think that spiritual maturity is all about knowledge. It's all about knowledge. The more I know, the more I grow, which is semi-truthful, because obviously we're not going to grow if we don't read and we don't have knowledge. But it's more than just knowledge. It's more. Spiritual maturity is more than just biblical knowledge. It's more than just reading books and gaining knowledge. I used to think that's the way it was. I thought that the more I knew and read, the more scripture I had memorized, the more mature I was becoming, but I couldn't live any of it out in my life. I had all this knowledge, but I had no way of seeing it through in my life practically. And so it wasn't until later I realized that it's not, spiritual maturity is not about this knowledge. Spiritual maturity is not just about being moral, because I know a lot of Christians who aren't moral. I know some people who aren't Christians who are very good moral people. We all know these people, but yet they don't profess to be a Christian. So we know that spiritual maturity is not just about knowledge. It's not just about morality. It's not just about giftings, right? Some of us think that, oh, that person's gifted, he's mature. Or I'm gifted from God, so I must be mature. Let's don't mistake giftings with maturity. That's really easy to do in the church today. We think, well, that person's gifted, he's mature. Well, I think I possess a certain gift, so I'm mature. I would tell you this, I had the gift of a pastor for many years of my life. But for many years of my life, I was spiritually immature. Because I had the callings and the giftings doesn't mean I'm necessarily mature in my life. You may have the gifting of singing. You can sing when you're 10, and you can sing good when you're 65. But it doesn't mean you're mature. Are you getting this? Let's don't put position and titles and giftings with maturity. No, maturity is simply this. Spiritual maturity simply reflects Jesus. The more I become conformed to his image, the more mature I'm becoming spiritually. It's simply about reflecting Jesus. My spiritual maturity is the transforming of us into the image of Christ. And so the question we've been asking ourselves this whole series, and I ask you again today, are you at Easter 2014? Can people see more of Jesus in your life today than they could at Easter 2013? For you. And stop comparing yourself with this person over here and saying, well, if I compare myself to them, boy, I'm not very mature at all. They've got it all together. So we think, right? But really, maturity doesn't have anything to do with that. I don't compare them because if I compare with them, I feel bad. I can't do it. And if I compare myself with somebody else who's not that mature, I'm like, well, look at me. I am much, much more mature than them. And so that, too, is wrong. No, spiritual maturity has to get up and look yourself in the mirror and say, where am I today compared to where I was in my past? Am I growing? Am I maturing in my faith to where I was? Every one of us have to own it. Every one of us got to take responsibility. When people see me, my life should be a reflection of the Father. I am being transformed, conformed into the image of Christ. And the more I reflect Jesus, the more maturity I'm showing in my life spiritually. And so, saying that, we talked about knowledge a lot. We talked about how the Spirit is pulling us from glory to glory, right? Last week we talked about it. The Spirit pulls us from level to level, from glory to glory. The power of the Spirit. He says, I've called you. He says, wait till you're endued with power from on high. It's the power of the Spirit which gives us the power to reflect his image. He says, you shall receive power to be what? My witness. You shall receive power to be conformed into my image when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. So, this is what I want you to get, though, because at Destiny Church, we're all about this word balance. And I want you to see it here, that it's not just one or the other, it's both. We need knowledge and training, discipleship. This is very much an important key of spiritual maturity. So, I don't want you to take this series and say, well, Pastor Gene doesn't think we need knowledge. No, we need knowledge. Jesus spent 3 years intense internship training his disciples, teaching them. Training them on a very much intensive internship. He says, my people, they perish for what? A lack of it. He says, man, without knowledge, you're going to perish. We need to know the word of the Lord. How can I apply the promises? How can I use the authority that the word has given me if I don't know it? I must have knowledge and training. Okay? But I also must realize I must be balanced that it's also being led by the power of the Spirit. And one without the other is only half-baked. It's only operating on half of the full cylinders that God has for us to operate in. And I must tell you, some of you here, I've been involved in church a long time. And I've been involved in churches that were on both sides of the teeter-totter. I have some churches I've been involved in that were really strong in teaching, discipleship. It's all about teaching, all about knowledge. We got to train. We got to read. And they're good at that, but then they reject the power of the Holy Spirit operating in their life. Now, on the other side, I've been a part of churches that all they thought was the power was important. It's better caught than taught, right? It's all about how you feel. And it's about getting the power in your life. And it's all about the power of the Holy Spirit. And I'm here to tell you that it's about balance. I must have knowledge, and I must have a life empowered through submission of the Holy Spirit. So don't get me wrong last week when I tell you about the power of the Holy Spirit in our life. We need both, okay? And at Destiny Church, we want to be balanced. How many think that's a good thing? That's called spiritual health. That's another sermon altogether. But it's about balance. When we're unbalanced in our life, we're unhealthy. We want to be spiritually healthy people, maturing. How? Through growing in knowledge of who God is, what His plan is for my life, and growing through the power of the Holy Spirit. It's both. I need both. So, knowing this today, let me close this series out. I want to highlight four areas that the potter is shaping us in. The potter is the Father. He's maturing us. He's shaping us. When God begins to shape you, let me give you four areas. These aren't not the only four areas, okay? But you're going to thank God I only hold the four today because you're going to be okay. I'm just going to give you four areas. I'm going to kind of bring this thing together, not only today, but the last series and some of the series we've been to see this intertwined together and how God is bringing this all together in our teaching. There's four areas that the potter begins to shape in our life and changing us. First of all, the potter changes this. The potter changes and reshapes our commitment. Our commitment. We talked about this a few weeks ago, that the foundation of spiritual maturity is a kingdom commitment. Spiritual maturity is built upon the foundation of commitment. You're not going to get anywhere and grow anywhere without a commitment. We must have a commitment, a kingdom commitment. The foundation of spiritual maturity is committed to the things that matter to God. We must realize this. And the reason why I say this, because it's so important, is that we are losing a generation that has this principle. Church, can we just wake up this morning and smell the coffee? Let's just have some real talk today and talk about it. When 20 years ago, 25 years ago, the core of the church, you've heard me say this before, the core of the church was made up of about 75, 80% of the people who were here on a regular basis. Now we're seeing trends are moving away from the core being here from 75 to 80% and having about 20% who floated in and out, to now we're seeing the core of the church moving to about 50, 60% of the core and another 50 to 40% floating in and out on when I feel like it, I'm there, when it's convenient, I'm there, but I don't need to be there. Maybe Easter, maybe Christmas, and maybe a few times in between, but it's really not that important. When I have time or there's nothing else going on today, I think I'll go. If I have something else going on, it becomes the back burner. So what we're having is this. We're raising up a generation who doesn't realize that the foundation of spiritual maturity is commitment. And so we've got to make sure we guard this with our families, with our children, and begin to bring it back as a priority in the house of the Lord. We must. I tell you that I know that society has this viewpoint. And society will tell you, you're not going to respect your time, right? Society, they don't even respect Sundays anymore. We know that if your kid's playing travel ball or on a team, Sundays are no big deal. They have tournaments that Sunday morning. It's just happening all the time. They don't respect anything. And so you're going to be the one that's got to guard that for your family. Now, I know that they don't respect it. I know my kids have played on teams and traveled and played on Sundays. I've coached before. The reason why I coached was so I could make sure and schedule my games after church so we could be in the house of the Lord. It was a lot of work on me, but I sacrificed for my children so they could be in the house of God and still yet do the things they wanted to do. And I say this to say this. I don't want you to feel bad because, you know, man, Pastor Gene's saying we just can't play. Well, that's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is when it runs from one season to the next season, to the next season, oh, it's Christmas, we'll go. And the next season, and then, oh, it's Easter, we'll be there. I'm talking about this, that we've got to guard our family's time. We've got to guard the commitment. I will tell you this, that when I was being raised, that there was a time in my life when I was a heathen. I know you have a hard time believing that. I really do. But even when I was a heathen, not serving God the way I should, I don't care what time I got in the morning, I was going to be up and be at church because I knew I had to be in the house of the Lord. And I tell you this, that I was afraid not to be at church. I had to be there. If I wasn't at church, I knew something was off, something was wrong. We've got to make sure that commitment is there. That's what's going to take us. I was sharing earlier about TJ when he was in college. One of the things that stood out the most to me was not that he was perfect, because he wasn't. But the thing that I loved most about TJ was this, that he was playing basketball at Southern, and he would get in sometimes at 4 o'clock in the morning from a road trip, but he would be back here at 7:30 in the morning for music practice, getting ready to lead worship. Why? Because he had a kingdom commitment. I wonder why God's elevating him. Because he had a commitment. You see, we've got to make sure we instill into our families, into our children, into our lives, that the foundation of spiritual maturity is faithfulness and commitment. If we miss that, we're missing the whole thing. That's why we did a whole series on staying planted. Are you seeing how God is bringing us together? That our spiritual maturity is about commitment. It starts with commitment. Faithfulness to God. Spiritual maturity means our kingdom commitment grows, our priorities change. So the potter is shaping my commitment, a kingdom commitment. It's not about results. My commitment is not about results, but my commitment's about the king. It's not just about what I get out of it, it's about my commitment to the king. He gave his life for me. Jesus said he stewards, was to be his stewards. For us to be his stewards, we must be found faithful. Remember, he gave the whole story about this in the parables. The person who took their talents and buried them, he chastised them. He got on to them, and he took them away, and he gave them to somebody else. He says, listen, to whom much is given, much is what? Required. What's he require out of you and I? A commitment. The foundation of spiritual maturity is learning to be committed to. And God is committed to faithfulness. He's committed to being in his house. He's committed at the cause of Christ. Potter is shaping the second thing. The potter is shaping our character. He's shaping our character. If any man be in Christ, he is what? A new creation. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. You don't have to stay the same in Jesus' name. Let me say again. You don't have to stay the same in Jesus' name. When you get on the potter's wheel and let him begin to shape you, generational curses begin to come off your life. Addictions begin to come off your life. Bad habits begin to come off your life. When you crawl up on the potter's wheel and say, God, Father, make me. Potter, make me into what you are wanting me to make. Things begin to fall off your life. You don't have to be a victim just because your dad was this way. You don't have to be a victim to what divorce has done to your life. You don't have to be a victim of abuse in your life. No, you can stand up and say, all things are being made new in Christ. The potter's reshaping me. I'm not shaped. I'm not marred any longer by abuse. I'm not marred by mistakes and failure. But no, now I'm being shaped and created into the character that God has for me. It's important to know that as he's shaping us, he will change our character. I'm not the same person I was. Someone say amen. I am not the same person I was. The potter is changing me. See, I used to be selfish. I used to be self-centered. I used to be full of pride. And the potter is taking those things out of my life, and he's reshaped me. He's broken me down, and he's remaking me into the image he wants me to be. Listen today, God is wanting to reshape our character. He wants to make you, sir, into a man of character. He wants to shape you into a man of character. I didn't have a father. Well, it's time for God raises you up to be the father of your children that you never had. He wants to be the spiritual father to you. It's time to pull up your big boy panties and underwear and say, God, reshape me. I don't want to be this person again. I don't want my kids to know a statistic of in and out. No, it's time for me to stand up and man up and let God change my character. Turn to your neighbor and say, I should have worn some steel-toed shoes today. He's stepping on us. Ladies, he is wanting to change our character. Look at this statement today. This is the statement of the day. I want you to get this in your heart. We need to stop worrying about doing the wrong thing and be more aggressive in doing the right thing. Are you getting that today? We need to stop worrying about doing the wrong thing and be more aggressive in doing the right thing. So many times as Christians, we're thinking, am I doing the wrong thing? Am I doing the right thing? And we get so worried about do's and don'ts, and then we don't do the wrong thing enough. Then we're like, ooh, look how mature I am. I don't smoke, I don't chew, and I don't date girls who do. Hallelujah. All right. Look how mature I am. Listen, God is wanting to change your character from being a person on defensive all the time. I don't want to make a mistake. I don't want to make a mistake. No, God wants you to get up, man up, woman up, and say, you know what? It's time for me to grow up and become on the offensive. If I begin to worry about doing the right thing, look for the right things to do, the more right things I do, I won't have to worry about the wrong things I'm not doing. Are you following me? Our attitude should be, I don't want to do the wrong thing. No, my attitude should be, I want to do the right thing. There's enough right things in Scripture that God has laid out for my life. When I begin to operate in them, I begin to move in them on a daily basis, that other things will fall into line. I'm not going to struggle with the wrong things if I'm on the aggressive and say, I'm out to do God's thing. I'm out to do the right thing. We got to change our attitude. God's changing my whole character. See, religion tries to follow set rules. We got a lot of religious people. They'll be filled in churches across the world this weekend. They're trying to follow set rules. But see, religion tries to follow set rules, but a relationship follows Jesus. Are you getting that today? It's a relationship that follows after Jesus. I'm not trying to follow rules. I'm trying to follow after a relationship. That this man came to die for me, to give his life for me, image. And he can take everything I've ever done wrong in my life. Forgive me. Reshape me, my character, my commitment, and change me into the person he's calling me to be. See, that's a relationship with God. Time, but at Destiny Church, we're not here to offer you a religion. But I'm glad you're here today. See, it was the Pharisees who tried to follow set rules. Remember that? They came up with hundreds of rules to follow. I got to do this, and don't do that, and don't do this, and don't do that. And they had hundreds and hundreds of rules to follow. And Jesus finally said, wait a minute, guys, you missed it. We're like, well, Jesus, Mr. Smarty Pants, why don't you just tell us then? What's your rules? He's like, here's your rules. This is what you need to know. Love God with all of your heart. Love God with all of your heart and learn to love your neighbor as yourself. If you'll just be proactive in those two things, everything else will fall in line. See, my character is being shaped. God is changing my character. Oh, I used to be selfish. I'll tell you, everywhere you go, people should see your character as a person that God is loving and improving of. People should see you as not a selfish person. When you go to the restaurant this week, may God's love show out of you when you look that server in the eye and you say, thank you for bringing my food, my drink. And thank you. Leave them a nice tip. Oh, he didn't go there. Yes, he did. I'll tell you what, I've had Christians make this statement. It just drives me crazy. I wouldn't dare leave a server more than I leave God. I only give God 10%. I'm not going to give my server more than 10%. First of all, don't use God for an excuse to be selfish. Please, don't do that, okay? I told you it's going to be good, okay? This is just one example of our character being changed. No, because if you think God only wants 10%, you're sadly mistaken. If you think God only wants 10% of our life, we've missed it altogether. God wants all of our life. And so the people I come in contact with, that waitress, should I say, thank you. Are you having a good day? And I go above and beyond. What the world leaves 15%, I can leave 20. It ain't gonna hurt. I can leave 20%. Why? Because I want to be a witness. And when I come back to those places, they see me coming. They fight to serve me. They fight to bring me. They know exactly what I'm going to have. They have my order already there. They know what appetizer I want. Why? Because I go above and beyond to show them that God loves them. I don't say it. I'm telling you this. Our character changes. When people see us, there should be something different about us. When God is maturing us, our attitude changes, our giving changes, our selfishness is being cast aside, and he's changing my character. Woo! I'm working up a sweat today, so I'm preaching better than you saying amen. Just be glad you're here today. Thank you to the poor people on the podcast today. Yes. Number three, the potter shaping our communication. We just finished up a series not too long ago called The Power of Our Words. Remember that? We find out the scripture says that the words that come out of our mouth, our tongue, is the power of what? Life and death. We see this. James says it in 3:2. When God is changing you, things happen. For we all stumble in many things. That's us, okay? For we all, turn to your neighbor and say, that's all. That's us. We all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, how he's talk, he is what? A perfect man. Now listen, this word perfect here translates in usage to maturity. So if we don't stumble in our words or communication, that person is becoming mature. Are you seeing this? God is maturing us. And that person who's mature in their words also controls their body. They have a bridle, the whole body. So the person who controls their words controls their body. Show me a person who's out of control in their life, and I'll show you a person whose mouth is out of control. They go hand in hand. This is why the Holy Spirit says, I want to put you on the potter's wheel. I want to reshape you. I want to reshape the way you talk. I want to reshape the way you communicate. I want to reshape. I want to reshape. Why? Because he's trying to mature us. We see this. We spent a whole series on this. Is it not making sense to us today? Look at the next scripture here in Ephesians 4:29. Don't let anyone or any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for what? Building others up. Turn to somebody and say, you got a God-given assignment to build others up. This is our God-given assignment, to build others up. Are you hearing me today? This is our God-given assignment, to build others up. I have a daily assignment. You have a daily assignment. And it's to encourage one another. It's to encourage people. Everywhere I go, I should be speaking encouragement. Before I was saved, I would go out and I would try to assassinate you with my words if you got in my way. It's just keeping it real. You going to double cross me? Boy, I would tear you down and I would put you in your place. Get me mad enough, I can still do it today. It happens, okay? God's changing me. Don't judge me, okay? God's changing me. He's maturing me. But what I'm trying to tell you is this, is that now my focus used to be I want to assassinate people in my way, to now I want to assassinate depression. I want to assassinate discouragement. I want to assassinate fear. By what? By coming in and say, man, I want to speak life over you today. How are you doing today? God loves you. You are blessed today. That's why I come in and I speak over you as a congregation many times. I say that you are the head and not the tail. I speak over you and say you are blessed in the city and you are blessed in the field. You are blessed when you come in and you're blessed when you go out. I'm here to tell you today that no weapon formed against you shall destroy your life. I'm speaking over you. Why? Because I have the power to speak life into you. You have the same power. Every day you have the power to build others up. Spiritual maturity changes my communication. It changes the way I talk to other people and I build people up. This is how I know I'm growing. Be an encourager today. And the last thing that spiritual maturity shapes us here. It's the potter is shaping our company. Everybody say company. I'm not talking about your business now, even though that will follow. Potter is shaping our company. How many know the environment matters, right? We spent a lot of time the first year talking about that. The people we surround ourselves with, it matters to God. He spent all that time creating the environment before he ever created the man. Environment matters to God. The potter is shaping our company. When you're on the potter's wheel, he will change your circle of influence. Let's read the scripture we read in 1 Corinthians 3 at the beginning of this series. Paul was saying, hey, man, I could barely speak to you as spiritual people, but as babes in Christ, I fed you with milk, not with solid food. Until now, you were not able to receive it, or even now, you're still not able. Look what he says. You're still very carnal. Why? What are the problems here? He says, for where there is envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal, behaving like mere men? Now, are these things relational issues? Right? All these problems, envy, strife, divisions, are all relational issues. They have to do with our relationships. See, when you're spiritually immature, you have very much unhealthy relationships. But when God's maturing you and the potter gets a hold of you, he starts changing your maturity level and he changes your relationships. I have people who call me all the time and want counseling. And I'm like, really? I can just tell you right now. Can I just give you insight right now about counseling? Are you ready? You're going to like it. I know you will because you guys always do. All right. That 90% of the people who call me and want help with counseling for the relationship issues, 90% of them do not have relationship issues. 90% of them have maturity issues. That's where it's really at. Because when we're immature, our relationships suffer. But when we're maturing, our relationships become healthy. See, God's changing our company. He's changing our relationships. We're on the potter's wheel. He's maturing us. This is why I've got to learn to mature. The more selfish I am, the more I struggle in my relationship with my spouse. The more self-centered I am, the more I struggle in my relationship with others and my spouse. The more prideful I am, the more I suffer harm. And I suffer envy and strife and division. But the more I allow the potter to change me, to mature me, my relationships change. My marriage gets healthier. My relationship gets healthier with other people. My circle of influence begins to change. See, our circle of friends really show us who we really are. Once I'm saved, my friends should not be able to relate to me the same way. They shouldn't relate to me the same dysfunctional way I was before. They should look at me and say, man, there's something different about you. I can't relate to you now. Your priorities are changing. Your attitude is changing. Your talk is changing. Your character is changing. Your commitment is changing. People should notice that. It should change the people who are around. We read this earlier. The people who become wise. What? If you want to become wise, hang around with who? Come on, guys. To become wise, you hang around the wise. Duh. Right? And then those who hang around fools suffer harm, is what Scripture says. The Proverbs says it just like that. This is why we got to know who we're hanging around. This is why we got to know, God, mature me. Change my circle of influence that you can mature me, shape me. Growing up, I used to love to eat candy. Growing up, I could drink pop all day. Eat candy bars all day. Eat ice cream all night. I didn't gain an ounce of weight. And it never made me sick, right? How many remember those days? When you could just, I mean, that was your three basic food groups. Pop, candy, ice cream. That was it. I love that. But as I've gotten older, if I eat that much sweets at one time, I become sick, don't I? Why is that? Why? Because I'm what? My body is maturing, right? My body's maturing and is saying, you're way too old for that. You can't handle that kind of diet. See, let me put it in practical terms. I can't stomach the same things I used to when I was young. You see, as we grow and mature in Christ, I can't stomach some of the same things I used to hang around. I can't stomach some of the same environment I used to allow myself to be in. Why? Because God is changing my appetite. He's changing and maturing me. I don't have an appetite for the unhealthy things I used to. It's changing my diet, my spiritual diet. See, ladies and gentlemen, today, we have got to make sure as we're growing spiritual maturity, we say, I don't have time for the drama. Okay? I don't care who's sleeping with who, who's dating who. I just know this. I've got to take care of myself and my family. We got to be in the house of the Lord. And I don't have time for your drama. I really don't. I don't have time for that. I've got to keep myself focused and centered where God is growing me. Ladies, have some self-respect and quit letting every jerk and young boy coming in and out of your life, your children's life, and say, no, I've got a standard. I'm changing. I'm maturing. Guys, come on. Quit settling for everything and say, I'm waiting for God's best in my life. Maturing means God changes my company. It's time that God changes us. See, as God changes us, matures us, He's growing us. Let me close with the scripture we had a while ago in Jeremiah 18:4. Potter said what? He looked at the clay. The clay was marred. And he said, it was made again into another vessel. I love this. Was the potter the reason why the clay was messed up? No. Who's the potter? God. Is God perfect? What's the problem? The clay, right? We're the clay. So the problem was not the potter. The problem was the clay. Now, this is my viewpoint right here. As musicians come this morning, listen to me. I want you to get this. If I was making a vessel, a pot, a bowl, and it was not right, you know what I would do with it? I would take that thing and I would throw it away. I'd start over again. Give me some fresh clay. Give me some good clay. This was marred, messed up. Don't you love how the Father does things? He doesn't do things the way you and I do. Because His ways are not our ways. His ways are higher than our ways. It's amazing that the same hands takes the same clay, that's you and me, and He breaks it down and He remakes it into the vessel He's wanting it to be. Today, if you're in a season of your life, you say, Pastor, I'm being broken down. Congratulations. Potter's remaking you. He's reshaping you. He's remaking us. See, spiritual maturity is allowing yourself to be remade. Spiritual maturity is allowing yourself to be back on the potter's wheel. That God can remake some things in my life. I just give you a handful here today. Many, many more. But what I'm talking about is this time when we grow up spiritually and say, I want to grow. I want to reflect God's image. There's this higher standard I'm moving toward. God hasn't called me to live at this level. God hasn't called me to be a doormat. God has called me to be a powerhouse. God's called me to be His tool of encouragement. God's called me to be His vessel, remade, reshaped into the person He's calling me to be. God's calling me to man up, become the man God's calling me to be. The husband, the father. God's calling me to be the wife, the mother, the daughter, the sister, the brother. It's time for me to accept that and to grow in my relationship with the potter. Today I'm going to ask our servers to come. On this Palm Sunday, we're going to come and take of the Lord's table. We remember this Holy Week, this Passion Week. It was this week we find our Savior in the garden crying out to God saying, Father, if there is any other way, let this cup pass from me. But even so, I submit to your will. Some of us here, that's the same way we are today. God, this is a painful way of being remade. But I submit to whatever you want to do in my life. We're going to take the Lord's table here in just a minute. I'm going to invite you to stand on your feet. What we're going to do, I'm going to ask you to exit out to your right side and receive the elements. Go back to your left side. Hold those elements there. We'll pray over them together. Receive them together in just a minute. Those here in the middle section right here, This half will join to the right, this half will go to the left. But today, come receive the elements. We'll pray over them in a minute together as we close out the service.
Your blood speaks a better word than all the empty claims I've heard upon this earth. It speaks righteousness for me. It stands in my defense. In Jesus, it's your blood.
What can wash away?
Week as we head into the Holy Week, the Passion Week, we remember the price that was paid for you and I. We remember the body of Jesus, which was beaten, which had the flesh ripped off its back, that carried a cross upon that back up Calvary's Hill, that was nailed to the cross, that you and I could be redeemed, that you and I could have forgiveness. So he said, in like manner, he said, take the bread. When we come together, he said, this is my body. Remember this. So, Father, today we remember your body, which was broken for us. We remember your body, which was beaten for us. We remember the stripes upon your back that were for our healing. Today, Father, we speak healing that would run throughout this room. Those today who are needing healing in their body. So, Father, your healing virtue would flow through this communion time. We remember that, Father, you have paid the price for all of our sickness, all of our disease. And we speak your healing spiritually and physically today. Let us take of the bread. He said, likewise, in the same manner, take the cup. He said, this cup represents his blood, which was shed for us for the forgiveness of sins. Father, we thank you for your blood, which you shed upon Calvary. This blood came to redeem mankind, that all who would confess and believe in their heart would walk under the covering that this blood represents. And Father, we can walk redeemed, and we can begin to come transformed into the image of your Son, Jesus. We thank you today for the blood that was shed for us. This week we remember. We remember all week long that you died for us in our place. Our heart is full of thanks. Our heart is full of gratitude and worship as we thank you, Father, for the price you paid for us. Let us take of the cup together. Now in your own way, make it personal. Tell them how much you love them. Tell them thank you, Father. Father, we thank you. Thank you, God. Come on, make it personal as we close out this song one more time.
Nothing but the blood, nothing but the blood, King Jesus. What can wash away my sin? What can make me whole?
We thank you today. We thank you today, God, for the communion table today. We love you. We tell you that we love you. Thank you for your life given to us. We remember. We remember. We praise you. We worship you. Now listen today. As you go out this week, keep a heart of gratitude. Remember the week we're walking this week. Make a personal time of reflection. Thanking the Lord for what he's done for us on the cross. Do your part now. Grab these tickets. Invite people. Get them here. Let's pack this place out 3 times next weekend. Pray with me this week, okay? Be praying that salvation will come to many, many people's lives next week. God bless you.